Welcome to Solder Smoke, a podcast by radio amateurs with a focus on homebrew electronics. We get together on the internet to swap ideas about radio construction projects. Our website is www.soldersmoke.com. Please send feedback to soldersmoke, that's one word, at yahoo.com. So, as we step away from our soldering irons and oscilloscopes, please join us for another edition of Solder Smoke. Welcome to Solder Smoke 48. This is M0HBR in London. It's Sunday morning, March the 4th, 2007. It's 0640 GMT. This is the morning after the big lunar eclipse, and we took a look at it last night. Miraculously, we had clear skies over London last night, and the timing was just about perfect for watching the eclipse. It didn't get started too late, and it wrapped up pretty much just in time for bedtime here. So several times during the course of the evening, we wrapped up the kids and went out to the front or backyard to take a look at the progress of the eclipse. Very, very, very beautiful sight. And like I said, very often here, you end up looking at the bottom half of bottom part of clouds. So we were fortunate last night to be able to see it. It looked, to me, it looked more interesting before it was a total, when it just started, when it looked like the shadow was just taking a chunk out of the moon. By the time it was full, it looked like you were just looking at the moon through some red dust or a red filter or something like that. But it was fun to watch the progress of the eclipse. In on the air news, I guess we could call it, I got on 17 meters single sideband yesterday, just for a few minutes, and it was one of those really lucky occasions where everything worked right. The rig was working, the ionosphere was cooperating, and as soon as I turned on the radio, I heard the voice of an old friend, Mike, Echo Alpha 8, Echo Quebec, who also operates from Echo India Land, from his home country. And Mike and I were in regular contact during my years out in the Azores with CU2JL. Mike's an amazing guy into all kinds of really interesting technical things, and divides his time between Ireland and the Canary Islands. And so I caught him yesterday from Tenerife, and gave him one call, and I guess I don't think he really caught my call, but I think he recognized the voice as I had with his, and we had a very nice contact there. So it's really nice when you have all things come together like that. So we had it was homebrew with the homebrew 17 meter SSB transmitter. On my end, it was definitely QRP. It was 17 meters, which is my favorite band, and it was an opportunity to meet up again with an old friend. So even if that ends up being the only few minutes that I'm on the airwaves this weekend, it will have been considered a big success. It was great to run into Mike again. Talk a little bit about what's happening on the test bench. I have continuing work on the feedback amplifier that I've been playing with for several months now. And I continue to move back and forth from LT Spice to the real world workbench and then back. I've built a second stage for this amplifier. And to help anybody follow progress on this a little bit better, I've posted the LT Spice schematic of the project on the Gadgeteer News website. You can get to it from www.gadgeteer.us. You'll see a link to Gadgeteer News. Nothing very sophisticated here. Just two feedback amplifiers in cascade. I'm designing each for about 10 or 12 dB gain for each stage, and I'm trying to design them for both for 50 ohm input, so you can cascade them. And I'm using 2-to-1 transformers, 2-to-1 turn ratio transformers to provide 4-to-1 impedance transformation. So that makes the 50 ohm input of the second stage look like a 200 ohm load for the first stage. You guys get the picture. It uses both emitter degeneration and a feedback network from the collector to the base. And in designing them, I'm primarily making use of a very helpful chart that appears in the feedback amp section of experimental methods for RF design. It gives you a chart showing how much resistance you should have in the emitter circuit, and then how much resistance you should have in the collector to base feedback network for given levels of gain and input and load impedances. So those charts are very helpful. And I take the chart, then I build the circuit in LTSpice and test it out and see how it works, and then over to the workbench, build it in the real world, and test the results to see how they compare with the design objectives and with what LTSpice is predicting is going to happen. And usually it comes out that when I build the thing, it compares very, it's very close to what LTSpice predicts. In this case, it wasn't. And I wasn't getting nearly as much gain as I was supposed to be getting. So I knew something was wrong. And I sat down yesterday morning and took a look at it and tried to figure out what was wrong. And I just started poking around with the oscilloscope. And one thing I noticed immediately was on the 12 volt DC line feeding both stages of the amplifier, there was significant RF. And I realized that in the neat world of LTSpice, it's just really easy to put completely separate 12 volt sources on each stage. You just select a 12 volt source and you pop it onto the screen, and there you have it. And of course, in the real world circuit, I was using one 12 volt source and was just connecting it to the different stages by wires, and I had neglected to put in any kind of decoupling network. So it was one of those very satisfying homebrewing moments. I decided just to very simply put a 0.1 microfarad capacitor from the 12 volt line to ground on the point where the 12 volt line came in from the power supply, and I put that in there. And first thing I did was I took a look, and sure enough, that was eliminating the vast majority of RF on the 12 volt DC line. And then I went and checked the amount of gain that was coming out of the amplifier, and it was right up where I wanted it to be, right up where it was supposed to be. So it worked. It was all very satisfying, and I had a good day in terms of real world and virtual solder melting. So that's the news from the M0HBR workbench this week. I guess now the thing to talk about is we've gone through on the air, on the bench, in the skies, and now I guess it's on the net. A couple things have been happening in this area. First, a discovery that Billy, my son, has really made, and that's the ability to jazz up your Google homepage. We're using the Google search page as our home pages on most of the computers here in the house, and my son has discovered the ability to put a really amazing variety of different boxes with different information on the web page. You can really tailor it quite a bit. A lot of stuff in there, a lot of stuff available of interest to QRPers and home brewers. For example, at one point I had on my screen a little box that was constantly displaying the position of the International Space Station, and I haven't really done too much exploration in this area, but I was thinking that we should ask for recommendations. What should a QRP home brewer or a home brewer or a cure peer or a radio amateur have on his Google homepage. Send us your suggestions, and we'll pass that on. Speaking of Google, you may have noticed some ads that are on my website web pages, on the Solder Smoke web page, on the Gadgeteer.us Gadgeteer News web pages. These are put there mostly for fun, and I think what'll be a failed effort to try to cover my ISP, my internet service provider or web host. Actually, the web hosting bills, they're not enormous, so if the effort fails, it's not going to be a problem. But I thought it would be kind of fun to see if I could make Solder Smoke and Gadgeteer.us financially self-sustaining. We're about a quarter of the way there. I didn't mind putting the Google ads there because I think they actually, to use a kind of hackneyed phrase, add value to the sites, because almost everything there, that all the ads that end up being placed there by Google, are kind of interesting and related to what we're all interested in. There's a lot of ads for electronic companies and PC board manufacturers and circuit board manufacturers, things like that. So I'm actually happy to see them on the site. And it's kind of interesting also because they change all the time. I think they change depending on where you're logging in from. I noticed that when I log in, most of the ads have to do with companies that are selling stuff in the UK. And so I think the ads that people see when they log in from the States or other parts of the world are different, so it's very tailored. Google's computer decides what ads to put up there, and of course it's all based on their computer analysis of what the content of the site is. And I've been impressed. Google does a pretty good job. Most of the time the matches are pretty good. But I've discovered that Google's computer is not perfect. And I get a chuckle out of this every time I see it. You'll remember and you'll realize that we talk a fair amount about lasers on Solder Smoke, and there's a lot of laser material on my web pages. And so I guess the Google web page, the Google search bot, takes a look and sees a lot of mentions of laser. So, put it this way. Somebody has to tell Google on their computer that we're not talking about laser hair removal. This is a completely different activity from what we're involved in. So, I think this is just kind of a humorous example about the computer's inability to recognize what's really going on. So that's why we have those rather strange and incongruous ads for laser hair removal on the Gadgeteer.us website. There's other filters that you can, when you get into the process, that you can specify that you don't want. You don't want porn advertised on your site, and I haven't seen any of that. So I think those filters are working fine. But Google's computers may need some fine-tuning there in the laser department. I got a kick out of that. On some of the websites, I've posted some URLs for videos that may be of interest to you guys. There's on the Gadgeteer.us video page, there's a link to a recent make zine or make blog description of how to use an oscilloscope. And it wasn't so much the how-to part of it that would be of interest to us. I think most of us know how to do that. But the scope that they were using was quite interesting. It was a PC-based scope. I think it was up to 20 megahertz. And it was a USB scope. You just it's in the computer, and there's a little hardware device that goes into a USB port on the computer, and I took a quick look at it. It looked like it was selling it for about $129. So that was I thought really interesting and potentially useful for for some Solder Smoke fans out there. I also came across an interesting video about a young woman who is essentially an electronics geek. She quit school and went on to become a very successful VSLI chip designer and a real kind of electronics guru out there in Silicon Valley. And there was a video on the web describing, in which she describes her life and how her father and brothers got her interested in electronics. So I thought that would be of interest to Solder Smoke fans. And finally, I posted a video a while back, but then it got, for some reason, it got taken down. I think there were some legal problems with it. But I really got a kick out of it, and I want to share with you. I think this will be fair use. Just a few lines from the video, if you guys haven't seen it. It's a dialogue between Dilbert's mother and Dilbert's pediatrician. In the video, you see a younger child version of Dilbert sitting up on the doctor's bench. And I'll go through a few lines of the dialogue here with you. The mother comes on. "Doctor, I'm worried about little Dilbert. He's not like the other kids. Yesterday, I left him alone for a minute, and he disassembled the TV, our clock, and the stereo." The doctor replies, "It's normal for kids to take things apart." "The part that worries me is that he uses the components to build a ham radio set." The doctor replies, "Oh dear. I'm afraid your son has the knack." The mother questions, "The knack?" "Yes, the knack. It's a rare condition characterized by extreme intuition about all things mechanical and electrical, and other social ineptitudes." The mother questions, "Can he lead a normal life?" The doctor, "No, I'm afraid not. He'll be an engineer." Mom can be heard sobbing in the background. Got a kick out of that. And I think I didn't become an engineer, but I definitely, as I'm sure most of you guys did, had the knack. Let's see, what's next? I thought you guys get a few. I just wanted to make a couple comments about the microphone I'm using. I'm still using the same microphone that we used when we were doing this on Echolink. I'm now recording it just directly into Audacity. But my microphone, I think, is really appropriate for this task because it's an old computer mic, just an old junky little Electret mic. Part of it is held together by duct tape, which is, of course, always good for a show about home brewing and soldering. And I didn't have a mic stand for it, so I have one of these little Radio Shack third-hand contraptions. I'm sure most of you have one of these on your workbench. It's just a little device with a heavy metal base and a couple alligator clips, designed to allow you to hold a PC board up. But right now it's holding up the Electret microphone and seems to be doing a good job. And like I said, it seems appropriate for the topics that we're discussing. Hey, today I'm introducing a new feature. It's called Band Sweep. And what we're going to do with Band Sweep, well, I'll describe it. I recorded a segment earlier, so now we'll switch over to the first ever Band Sweep here on Solder Smoke. The idea is I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to listen to the ham bands, to hear what they sound like from right here in central London. I'm going to use a variety of different receivers, and we'll listen to different bands. Appropriately enough, this week we're going to start with a Drake 2B, my trusty Drake 2B. I bought this receiver in 1973. In the suburbs of New York. It was sold to me by my Elmer, Hilmar Meyer. His call was WB2NEC, and it marked a major improvement in my ham radio arsenal. I had previously been using a Hallicrafters HA600 general coverage receiver, which had its virtues and had its faults, but the Drake 2B, well, it was a revolution in the receiver area for me. It is very selective and stable, had a nice tuning rate, and it just opened up the world of DX for me, and I had great success with it. So let's move over to the 2B. I'm just swinging around on the table here, and I've got it tuned to 20 meters. Let's see, we'll start out at 14.0, tune up. through the CW digital and phone portions of the band. There you have it. There's some band noise around 14.0. First CW signals. ES2JG, kind of warbling signal in there from the east. We've got the 2B on, we've got it on 2.1 kilohertz width. Let me put it down to 500 kcs. You can see a big improvement there. Keep it in that mode. I don't have the Q multiplier on. Tune it up, we're around 14.03. A little higher. Getting to the high end of the CW band. Not too many signals up here now. Starting to get digital signals here at 14.080. A lot of digital stuff in there. We're above 14.1 now. Starting to hear little bits and pieces of sideband chatter. That's 14.145. I'll take it out to 2.1 kilohertz. A lot broader there. This time of the day, we'll hear a lot of Russians and Eastern Europeans. I think there's a contest on 20 this morning. I should have said it's 0848 GMT on the 3rd of March, Saturday morning here.
Okay, good luck in the call system. See you down the road. Okay, Tom, your X, please. Your X, 1 minute. Okay, at this position, my antenna direction is side. I'm around my antenna.
Always nice to hear some antenna experimentation going on. Whatever he did, it dropped the signal off here. Let's tune up a little bit. Italian stations coming in.
Thank you very much for good contact. Wish all the best, good health, and some injury.
Up around 14.275. Top part of the band now. Some Italian stations up here at around 14.34.
C'è più di un amico qua. Ora li facciamo subito entrare. Mi sembra che ci sta Torino dalla Nuova Zelanda o Lamberto. E poi forse Luigi, ma forse sta dicendo fesserie. Allora, quindi col permesso degli amici, Pino, allora l'uno il microfono, il 4 se metto la static, quindi lo collego sul 4 come massa. E
Italians. And that brings us to 14.350 and the end of Band Sweep for this week. Hope you guys found that interesting.
I have to be a little bit more quiet this morning because the kids are sleeping in. They were up late last night watching the eclipse. So when I do this, you'll notice it's a little bit quieter. Welcome to Solder Smoke Mailbag. Got some good mail this week, and I want to share it with you. I want to go into a little bit more detail because some of these projects are really, really interesting. Just the kind of thing we're looking for. First of all, let's see. Thanks to John, KB0ADD, who is a big Solder Smoke fan, has sent in some suggestions for the show. He'd like us to look a little bit more at the kind of the kit building angle of QRPing and home brewing. We'll try to do some of that. Not get too heavily into the engineering and the design here, although that has been the main interest for a while. Matthew KK6CB sends in a nice email. Talks about a project he's working on right now. It's something I did a while back. It's building a 455 kilohertz BFO for use with a shortwave receiver that is that doesn't have a BFO in it. This would allow you to listen to SSB signals on one of these little shortwave receivers. I built one. I built it into an Altoids tin, and I used a 455 kilohertz IF can, IF transformer can from a transistor radio. I used that as the main element of the tuned circuit. The coils were about right. I put a little cap across it, I think, or I might have used the cap that was inside the can. I think the cap was inside the can. So I just put it in there and used that as the tuned circuit. Got the oscillator going nice and loud at 455 kilohertz, and just put it close to the receiver, and I was able to listen to SSB signals on that thing. It was great fun. It added a homebrew element to the whole project. Let's see. So thanks to Matthew for that. Good luck with that. Oh, and Matthew notes that he's been inspired by Solder Smoke, and he now sees a radio lurking somewhere in his junk box. So good work, Matthew, and bring that radio out of that junk box. It's in there somewhere. Got a nice email from Dominic, and let's see. Dominic's operating right now is HB9 stroke Mike 1 Kilo Tango Alpha. Dominic was very, very nice. He posted a message on GQRP a while back saying that he had some old laptops excess to his needs that he was looking to get rid of, and he sent me down one from he was up in Cambridge at the time, and sent me down an old laptop, and I'm happy to report that Maria is making good use of it. She likes the paint feature, and she paints pictures and writes things with it, so thanks, Dominic, for that. Dominic is now on the air from Zurich. He describes some of his antenna tuners that he's using to feed a G4 FON loop, which is basically a 16-foot diamond. He's running this on 40 meters, 30 meters, and 20 meters, and he has some interesting antenna tuners. He said he bought a tray of 70 picofarad caps, and he's using those, and I think he has the whole thing mounted on what he described as cheese boards, which reminds me of the ATUs that I have. They're all mounted on bits of wood, just capacitors and coils kind of nailed down there, mostly an L network configuration, and they work out very well. They're ugly, but they get you there. So Dom, thanks for the laptop, and thanks for the email. Good luck with the operations from Switzerland. Let's see. We also got a very nice email from Pete, W6JFR, and he's been working on 17 meter on SSB project. He said My idea was to use standard computer crystals and see what could be built. I noted that the 4.9152 MHz computer crystals in an LSB-type ladder filter, when mixed with a 23.04 MHz signal, produced an upper sideband signal on 17 meters. As it turns out, an 11.520 MHz standard computer crystal, when doubled in a diode doubler, works very nicely for this purpose. The added advantage of the doubler is that the basic VXO shift is now doubled for greater frequency coverage. I have a working radio with about 30 kHz coverage from 18120 to 18150. Despite my efforts, I have not seen the 50 or so kHz spread that others have experienced with a VXO. So I am still on a quest for that magic VXO. But what I do have is rock solid. My basic radio gets about 4 watts out, and I must confess that I have a 100 watt solid state linear that is pressed into service occasionally. This past weekend I worked GD6IA with 100 watts. That was a new one for me, a piece of cake for you, I'm sure. Well, actually I have trouble reaching GD6 because I'm inside the skip zone. Anyway, Pete asks how I'm able to get more significant frequency coverage on my 17-meter SSB rig, and I have to report, Pete, that I'm cheating because I use two different crystals, and I have a switch on the front panel that lets me go from one crystal to another, and that's how I get the coverage. I think I can go from 18111 up to 18147, which is not too good. But I have a lot of overlap in there. I have about 9 kilohertz of overlap between the two crystals. And I have a third crystal in there that gets me to on the higher portion of the band. It's above 18147. But when I want to use those frequencies, as occurred yesterday when I heard Mike EA80Q on, he was in a part of the band that was outside my normal range. I have to pop the case of the transmitter open and reach in and manually change to a third crystal that I have for that upper portion of the band. So it's not exactly a smooth frequency changing arrangement here, Pete. But thanks for the email and good luck with the project. We have a. This is the kind of email that we really like to get. It's from a fella in Helsinki, Finland, named Greg. Greg wrote in a while back. He was a shortwave listener and was asking for some technical advice on some homebrew projects that he was developing. And we sent him some helpful information. And he writes today. Hi, Bill. Last time I wrote you about 3 months back, you recommended to me that I get my ham license. Well, I'm just dropping you a note to let you know that I have done just that. I passed the technical section with no problem and going for the general class in about 1 month's time. Then I will have my very own OH2 call from Helsinki, Finland. So thanks for the encouragement on that. Also, I'm gearing up for a nice homebrew project here. I'm about to order the electroluminescent receiver. Tokyo at night. Kit from the States. That's the receiver that has the LEDs to show the operation of the various stages. Should be fun to get a nice non-digital radio going again. Anyway, really, I was very pleased to hear that Solder Smoke has led to at least one new radio amateur. So congratulations to you, Greg, and look forward to talking to you on the air. Great. And yesterday I got an email from Wayne, Victor Alpha 7 Alpha Tango. He found an interesting site on SDR, Software Defined Radio. It's YU1LM is his QRP radio site, and I think if you just Google YU1LM, you'll find it. And he said, this site has the simplest method of building a QRP transceiver and receiver. No more crystal filters and lossy mixers and fancy front ends and tiny, hard-to-get SMT parts and too many wound coils. I hope you will share this with all your listeners. All right, we did. I'm in the process of building a 40-meter version of a Softrock RXTX SDR transceiver from the Softrock 40 group. Well, good luck with you. Good luck to you with that, on Wayne. I'm putting that on my to-do list for a bit further down the line. As you know, I'm I'm stuck in discrete components and analog technology. One of these days, I'll get more advanced and may join you in the interesting area of software defined radio. All right. Well, that takes us to the end of Mailbag. I think that's about it for this week. I hope you guys have enjoyed Solder Smoke 48. I'm continuing efforts to get some guests to come in here, so you won't have to just listen to me drone on. I hope the band sweep feature was interesting. At least it provides a break from my monotone monologues here. And I got a bit of a cold this morning, so I think that makes me a little bit even more monotone. I apologize for that. But keep those emails coming in. Really like to get them, and I hope Solder Smoke continues to be of interest for you. Let me know if you have any suggestions on things you'd like us to do or talk about. 73 is from London.